America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Well, I don't know how you're doing, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're having the worst day ever. It's Worst Day Ever, the 24 Season 2 Recap Podcast, talking about 24 Season 2, Episode 17, 12 to 1 a.m. We are in that midnight hour with Jack Bauer. Hi, Em.
It felt like it was dragging.
Hey, Emily.
This one felt like it dragged.
Wake up. It's the middle of the night, Fox.
I'm tired. I need a snack.
It's the middle of the night. Did you get that chocolate cake you were after? Nope.
No, I didn't.
Nope. No frozen baklava left. No snacks. Just Bauer. Now
just
it's
water.
Time to... Listen, we're really grinding it out, much like the agents of CTU, as we have people on opposite sides of the battlefield here. The existential battlefield, the literal battlefield. There's a shootout at the end of this episode. Oh my goodness.
Oh, I'm tired.
You are tired tonight. You're pushing through to get through 24 Season 2, Episode 17. This episode didn't help, it seems.
I'm tired of some of these plots.
Yeah.
They gotta wrap it up.
A few of them, huh? A few of them are not phenomenal.
Yeah, it felt like we went at a snail's pace today.
Yeah, it was a little...
Threading a lot of needles, and we don't need to repair anything.
You know, there's some stuff here that I really, really like, and then there's some stuff here that I really, really, really don't. I guess we'll get into all of it and let that guide us through the podcast. When we begin, Emily, let's not dilly-dally, shall we? Let's just get into the episode.
Come on.
Because we're picking up from Jack and Kate. They're running to their car. They just busted up Tony Almeida, and Kate's having some regrets about this. She's like, I'm having second thoughts, Jack. And Jack says, do you trust me? She goes, I guess I do. He says, then get in the car, Kate. Damn it. Back at CTU, Carrie is just wandering the halls when Tony Almeida's like, Carrie. Hey, Carrie, can you hear me?
Carrie,
can you hear me? And she's like, what is that? I hear like a little breeze. Carrie, what is that? It's me. I didn't even recognize my own voice. It's Tony crumpled on the ground. He's like, my ankle. Ah, oh, God.
Like a little suit that's been tossed to
the
side.
So here's the story behind the ankle.
Yeah, tell me about
this. Okay, so Carlos Bernard, the actor who plays Tony Almeida, loves basketball. I believe that this is correct. This is my memory of it. I'm going off of memory and
you
not going
off. You had his IMDb page up like you were going to find some
I used to be like really obsessed with the show, and so I was really hooked into the internet culture around it and like TV articles about it back in the day. So I'm pulling on this from memory. My memory of this is that Tony loved... that Carlos Bernard loved playing basketball.
Tony did too, just to keep
things
consistent.
And he either twisted or broke. I think he may have broken his ankle while playing basketball, IRL, and this had to be worked into 24. But they were going to have this scene where Jack and Tony come to, you know, this big disagreement about how to move forward with the Cypress recording, and there was going to be a fight. Back in the day, there used to be this great 24 official website that gave you like the dossier of all of the characters.
Okay.
And one of the things that they said in like Tony Almeida's dossier is like, he's an expert in Krav Maga, like Israeli martial arts. And so it was like, whoa, when do we get to see that? And so there was a lot of hype that maybe we would finally get to see that.
And that's what it was.
And I think we were going to get like a fight scene between Tony and Jack here. And instead, Carlos Bernard rolled his ankle, broke his ankle, something like that. I believe playing basketball, maybe speaking out of school. This is my memory of it. And so we did not get to see an actual fight scene. Jack Bauer, just as it probably really would happen, just cold cocks him and breaks his ankle.
I mean, I feel like it's the most realistic portrayal of like a fight. It's
yeah.
like, ow. And they were like, it might be a torn ligament.
Yeah. Or, it's like, oh, wow. My pain threshold is like, worse than Marie's.
Yeah. Or a sprained ankle. Like, they're like, no, you didn't break it, which is the best part of this and very realistic.
Yeah. So that's my memory of this. So Tony Almeida with a weak ankle, Carlos Bernard on crutches.
Why you
now. now.
Is this why you sympathize with him so much?
Because I also have weak ankles. Maybe part of it. Also, I don't know how to speak up for myself either.
I wish you talked that quietly.
Wow, drag me, please. Jack and Kate break out of CTU. They are able to get out just in time before the security guard is able to really get one over on them. And on the road, Jack sort of explains the whole Cypress recording thing to Kate, and that this guy called and he wants you for some reason, Kate, and I don't get it. And Kate's like, all right, well, what's going to happen? And Jack's like, I can't lie to you. This is very dangerous, and I don't know what's going
to
happen.
He'll probably get really irritated by you eventually and have to kill you.
If you want to go through with this, you're going to have to accept the risks. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, what are the risks? And he says,
war.
Well, I may have to hand you over to a bad guy who's going to throw you in a trunk of a car in the middle of a gunfight. Uh-huh. And she decides, okay, all right. You yawning on the podcast?
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God. We're going to get...
That's how tired I am of Kate. Truly.
You are out on Kate Warner.
I'm so out. What did I say to you later in the episode? I was like, her vacant, like, confused stare.
What you said was that 24 is a marathon for actors who can, like, make these scenes work after all of this time. And you're not supremely impressed with Kate Warner.
I'm not.
That's all right.
I mean, a lot of this goes into the writing.
Look,
too,
you're allowed to have opinions, and I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
All right. So the David Palmer and friends, they get off of Air Force One, they get into a limo, and they call the vice president, and it's Charles Widmore from Lost.
Right. What a surprise. It's something that I've been wondering about this entire season. Like, who's the VP?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that they go off and do different things. Like, they're not together every day holding hands or riding a bicycle built for two. Like,
yeah.
The VP has very different roles than the president does. But I was surprised and delighted to see Charles Widmore.
Character actor Alan Dale as Vice President Jim Prescott.
He has really mysterious eyes.
Yes, he does. Doing an American accent.
Yeah,
I was
impressed by his American accent. Not too bad.
At this moment in time, he's not yet Charles Widmore on Lost. And to me, before he's Vice President Prescott, he is Caleb Nichol from The O.C.
Ooh.
Is how I know him at this moment in time. As I'm watching season 2 of 24.
California, here we come.
Yeah, here we come. Right back where we started from, though he's in Washington, D.C. It's hard to trust a Charles Widmore, isn't it?
Yeah, feels like he has ulterior motives.
Doesn't seem like he loves that David Palmer isn't, like, super in on war.
Well, this is the episode that sort of definitively shows how war-hungry most of the people within,
they want it.
The direct vicinity of the presidency seem to be.
They want this.
Yeah. Bloodthirsty.
And, like, David's like, yeah, well, I'm not sure because it might not be real. And then he hangs up, and Mike is like, and he's going to spend the whole episode. Mike's going to be like, David, it's one guy. I know it's Jack Bauer, but it's one guy. And you predicating all of your decisions on the intelligence of one person when the rest of the intelligence community is telling you another thing is making me nervous. And even Lynn Kresge.
She's like, I gotta agree with him.
I'm with Mike.
Yeah.
And David's like, okay, noted. And that's it. And we trust Jack Bauer as the audience. And David Palmer trusts Jack Bauer because of all of their experiences together. But how do you feel about this from Mike and Lynn's point of view?
I think that that's a reasonable response to have where you're like, wait, you're going to base all of this on a guy who seems to have gone AWOL for the millionth time. Like, he, typically shows up and does the right thing. But, like, he has a really, sort of unconventional and crazy way of showing it.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I think that that's fair. I mean, how many times have you wanted to get dinner with your friends or something, and then one person says no, and you're like, really, we're gonna base it on this person saying no to this particular
that the whole
restaurant?
Thing gets shut down?
The before times.
Wow, that sounded pretty personal, Fox.
It is. You know who I'm talking about.
I do know who you're talking about. Okay, at the convenience store, Kim is trying to make sure that character actor Brent Sexton doesn't die. Lots of character actors in season 2 of 24.
She didn't do a great job of that.
The man who is holding the place up says, please don't let him die. And she lets him die. So that's what's going on there.
Listen, there's only so much you can do in a convenience store.
I want to talk about the convenience store as minimally as possible because it's garbage.
It's such trash.
Jack is explaining to Kate. She's like, aren't you friends with the guy who you punched? He's like, yeah, he's under a lot of pressure right now. I love that. He's like, yeah, Tony's under pressure. He just got the job. He's trying to follow protocol. He's doing what he thinks is right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, turns out that Jack and Kate are being followed. And so they like park their car, and this car that's following them gets pinned by Kate, who then like does like the submarine move, car ramrod, between Jack and Kate. And it's Yusuf. So Yusuf, who has been like bumming around CTU the last couple of episodes,
yeah, not getting any answers
from anyone, has decided to follow Jack because he's like, well, no one's telling me anything, and I watched you punch Tony Almeida in the face, which means you're not really on board with what he's doing. And Jack says, well, I'm not trying to protect your country either. I'm trying to make sure that the president is operating, making decisions based in fact. And it should be noted that Syed Ali comes from your country, Yusuf. And Yusuf says, yeah, and that makes him part of my problem. He's a criminal. We don't support him. And we've got everything to lose here and nothing to gain. Yeah. And Bauer's like, well, what is it that you want? Yusuf says, I kind of just want to be your friend. And Jack,
really
like,
hang
and
Jack's out.
Like, oh. Yusuf's like, I kind of just want to be your friend.
This is why you like Yusuf.
Yusuf's like,
Yusuf's like,
I want to help.
Yusuf is you.
Yusuf goes, I want to help. And Jack goes, oh.
If you could be one person in this episode, who would you be?
Yusuf Auda.
Yeah.
So this is why I was telling you. I
well, I couldn't
love
follow.
Yusuf.
I couldn't follow because like they weren't giving him much to work with.
No, but
quite
that makes
literally.
This part like a really good payoff is there's two episodes of nothing. He's getting disparaged by my favorite character on the show,
exactly.
I should note. And he's just like, what is going on here? This is so frustrating. He sees Bauer cold cock Tony and he's like,
excuse
me? I'm going to be on Tony's side. I'm going to be on Bauer's side. I'm team Bauer now. And Yusuf showing up for Jack. Great stuff. Love this.
Yeah. I get it now.
And like the rest of the episode, like Yusuf and Jack are just lockstep. Like they've
yeah,
been
they
best
really
friends
are.
Forever.
They figured it out.
Yusuf's like, I've heard that the best character on the show is being something of a baby right now. So I thought perhaps you would like it if I could be your ride or die. Jack's like, yeah, that'd actually be great. Could use another set of hands. This is good. Tony's hands are full with crutches. he has torn a ligament, and he shall be on crutches for the duration. And he gets into it with Michelle. Hey, are you working with Jack? She's like, no.
Dude, I hate this.
And he says, you sure? And she says, I'm not.
They're like, never.
Why did Carrie
now?
Say that you're doing it? Then she's because Carrie sucks and she knows. I think so. It's effectively what she says.
They're never gonna go out now.
Yeah, this seems trouble in paradise.
Yeah, someone let the helium out of the balloon.
Yeah, are you making another fart joke, Fox? at the convenience store, this guy is whining. I don't like it. He gets on the phone. He tells, "Bring my wife to Monterey."
That's really
let her
far.
Go to the aquarium yeah, and once she's at the aquarium I'll let Kim go.
Yeah, that's super far.
Yeah. Oh god, it's really far.
Yeah,
pretty far from where they are. That's like a 4-hour haul at least. Maybe not at with traffic, you know, there's no traffic.
Well, I guess they're not in LA really.
So Jack goes to the warehouse. He's like, Kate, stay in the car. And so he goes in deeper and he meets this dude who is the 7th Coral Snake. Jonathan Wallace is this guy who's a real piece of work, a mercenary who's been hired to be responsible for the Cypress recording and planting that in Syed Ali's apartment and also making sure that the bomb goes off. He was hired by people that he can't really speak to right now.
It's all very weird.
Yes.
It's all like a lot of shadow work and like, you know, he keeps being like, yep, I trust you. No problem. Like, put your gun down. I don't have a gun on me. Blah, blah,
there's
blah.
Like some like, sort of like mutual respect between professional killers, I think.
Yeah,
is going on.
But they're still pulling punches on each other.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Some compelling information as Wallace is going to say that the reason that he was hired, it's pretty obvious that they always wanted, you know, the people who hired me, they wanted a war in the Middle East so that they could take the oil.
Classic.
Huh. You know, sometimes.
Heard that one before.
Sometimes. And so he wants Kate Warner. He says he wants Kate Warner because Kate Warner, through her business, is going to be able to charter a plane with which to get out of the country. This is a reach. Mm-hmm. There was no one else. No
All
one else.
This is stupid.
Yeah. And so he's also going to need her to be on the plane. because without her being on the plane won't be able to go. And he's like, and then I'll have to get rid of her. And Jack's like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know what I mean. I'll kill her.
Why can't they just make a similar negotiation as they did with Nina?
I don't know. Maybe Jack should be calling David Palmer right now and getting David Palmer to do stuff.
Yeah.
That's not a bad call, Emily.
Yeah.
At this
you.
Point in time, Thank like you. Maybe he should be calling David Palmer. I don't think that that's wrong. Outside Yusuf Auda is being a badass. There's this dude that Wallace has signaled with like a foot pedal that controls a neon sign.
No, it's not a foot pedal.
That's a
Josh.
Foot pedal.
No, it's
what is
literally
it?
The outlet for the plug of the sign.
Ah.
So he's like wiggling it so that it loses power like temporarily and signals the guy.
I thought he was like hitting the gas. It's like a wah-wah pedal on his electric
foot
guitar.
Pedal for
yeah,
a sign. That
yeah,
makes
for
total
his slide
sense.
Guitar.
Yeah, like.
Well, this guy who he has like as his like second guy looks like he plays slide guitar. Wallace has some like Bruce Springsteen energy, and this guy kind of looks like Sylvie from The Wire. From The Sopranos. I'm tired too, and it's Silvio, and he also has a name that I'm not getting immediately. Steve Van Zandt. Yusuf knocks out Van Zandt.
We gotta go. And then he's
gonna tell Wallace like, "Yeah, I found your guy, by the way." And Wallace like, "Shit." but he also is not gonna give Jack any information until he's up in the air with Kate. And so Jack's like, "Ah, yeah, I'll let you do that. I think I'm gonna let you do it."
I'm just over all these negotiations. Yeah. I want the information, and I'm done.
You were right about one thing. The negotiations were long. So at District, which is where David Palmer and everybody is shacked up now because he wants to be in L.A. Mike is trying to find out, how do I get a hold of Jack Bauer? And Lynn's like, well, I don't know that you should be going around David Palmer right now. And Mike says, well, that's my call, and you not liking it is duly noted. So Mike is, you know, trying to make some moves here, Emily.
I know. And Lynn's like, let me get my flip phone out.
She gets her flip phone out. She gives him Tony Almeida's number. Mike and Tony talking. That's a fun combo, I guess. And Mike's like, wait, he punched you? Or I think Tony's like, well, Jack's MIA and he assaulted C2 personnel. And Mike's like, you could just say it's you, right? He's like, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. He did it. It wasn't me. So he says, if you hear from Jack, you call me right away. How do you feel about Mike Novick right now? Panicked?
I don't think he's feeling great. And I think he's a little too involved.
Too involved?
Yeah. Like, he's supposed to be the confidant to the president. He's supposed to be someone that's reassuring him and, like, definitely, like, asking him to reconsider certain things. But he's, like, a little too thirsty on the side.
It's pretty thirsty.
Yeah, I don't love it. Makes me not trust him as much.
Interesting.
Like, he's always been, like, a good sounding board for David for the most part. Here, I feel like there could be some sinister moves at play.
Sinister moves from Mike Novick, perhaps. Okay, so Tony, speaking of sinister moves, has Carrie tap Michelle's phones.
I hate this so much.
Yeah.
It makes me really unhappy.
Yeah. He's drinking from the Cubs mug, though,
yeah.
So that's good. Speaking of thirsty.
The trust is gone, though.
Yeah.
It's not a good feeling.
Carrie tells Tony, I saw Jack and Michelle talking. It was conspiratorial.
Well,
they
no.
were not trading recipes. And then it had me thinking about the 24.
The chocolate cake recipe
the
that
chocolate
I might
cake,
make.
The 24 breakfasts.
It
the,
is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of food that's not being eaten in this, and it's
the
making
flapjacks.
Me upset.
At the convenience store, Kim escapes. Let's just say that. At first he tries to shoot her, maybe, and then she takes a moment when he's distracted to get out. Thank God. And he's just crying about it, and the storyline is terrible. The cougar gets a lot of press as, like, the low point of Kim Bauer's time on 24 because it's just so ridiculous. And I guess that's, like, jumping the shark is sort of confronting the cougar.
Yeah.
But I think, like, the Lonnie stuff, this storyline, this shit is trash.
It's just too bad.
It's so bad.
It's like they decided she was gonna give off some sort of pheromone that attracted
all of the worst writing and
like crazy people.
Yep, horrible.
And like the worst part about this entire plot, aside from the fact that it just exists, is the fact that like she's safe and they still feel like they need to wrap it up. It's like I don't give a crap about like what's happening anymore in this. Like, she needs to get into a cop car and be taken to a station so she can, like, freaking call CTU and get home.
Jack and Wallace are talking. They've got some time before Kate and Yusuf are going to show up. Wallace is like, hey, I was there when Colonel Sanders tried to recruit you to Coral Snake. He was really bummed you turned him down. He said you were a natural born killer. Was he right? And Jack says, no, that was Woody Harrelson. At CTU, Carrie starts tracking Michelle's phone just yada yada-ing ahead a little bit. A man named Danny calls Michelle. Mm-hmm. And seems very flustered and wants to know about the bomb and you haven't told me stuff. And Michelle's saying, well, maybe you should be talking to Carrie. And he says, I'm not going to talk to Carrie. She's a B word. Carrie is listening to all of this and Carrie is going to delete this phone call from the record. What do you think is happening with Michelle, Carrie, and Danny?
I don't know, but I just like to think that maybe Michelle planted tracking devices on Carrie's computer to keep track of Carrie before Carrie started keeping track of Michelle.
Mm.
And therefore she finds like the deleted file and she's going to like use that against her someday.
Okay, maybe. Mike Novick is going to tell David Palmer like, hey, so Jack Bauer punched a guy and tore a ligament on his friend's ankle. And he's probably suffering some kind of emotional collapse, which would be understandable given everything he's gone through. Mm-hmm. And David says, well, maybe he just needed to do that. And Mike's like, oh, God. It's not that David's wrong, but Mike is just like at every turn, he's
like, you're justifying it at this point. Yeah.
And he's telling Lynn, he's like, oh, God, if this recording is not authentic and Bauer's right, we'll have made a mistake of historic proportion. So we need to find Jack Bauer and find out what's going on. Like, he is entertaining this possibility still.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the warehouse, Jack's like, yeah, so Kate, you're going to have to get on the airplane with this guy. She's like, really?
You're giving me up?
Yes.
Like, I can't listen to her voice anymore.
But you gave me your word. Wallace is so fed up with this, and he hasn't even known her for 5 seconds, when she's like, you going to give me up? And he's like, you're going
to
come with
talk
me.
Talk to her.
You're going
to
come with me. And she's like, no, I'm not. And he looks at Jack. He's like, talk to her, Jack, or I'm going to have to do this differently, which says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Very loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's not thrilled about this. At the convenience store, the police shoot the man.
Ramon.
Not the last Ramon we get on 24. Another Ramon, a much more iconic Ramon on 24 than this guy. I had forgotten about this guy completely. And I believe this storyline is basically over.
It better be.
Pretty sure. Knock on wood.
Doing it.
Mike and Lynn have a conversation with Charles Widmore. And Charles Widmore, Vice President Widmore, says, is David doing this? Is he going to do the thing? Is he going to do the hard thing, the right thing? And Mike's like, yeah, he will. He's committed. He's just got to feel good about it, you know?
Yeah, he's just in the bathroom.
And the Vice President, he's just in the bathroom. He'll be right out. The Vice President's like, okay, I don't know if I love this. And Mike's like, ah, God, I don't know if I love this either. He's very troubled. Very troubled, and so
does
Lynn.
This is the point where everyone says, you know what, this is really upsetting. Maybe we should take a nap.
Yeah. Can we just take a few hours?
Yeah.
Just feel to some degree like everyone's just kind of rushing choices. Swift decisions.
Swift decisions, but like a lot of hemming and hawing.
Yeah. And can you do your best hem and haw right now? That's really good.
Thanks.
Yeah, very good. The episode ends with Wallace putting Kate in the trunk of a car. Yusuf, the badass, like, Jack, I've put the tracker in. It's in place.
Am I making it up that she was like, but I can ride up front?
Yeah,
I'm
she says that. She's like, I don't need to be in the trunk. And Wallace's like, you're going in the trunk.
Yeah, like, shut the hell up.
You're going in the trunk. And once he places her in the trunk, gunfire erupts, and Wallace and Jack and Yusuf are pinned as people are shooting at them from on high. And for what and for why? I think this maybe illuminates a little bit of the urgency that Wallace is feeling. And considering that's where we end the episode, you can imagine that we will begin the 1 a.m. hour, Fox, with explosions aplenty.
Mm.
So if this was a very talky episode of 24, next one, to my memory, is much more action-packed.
Okay.
On the Bauer side of things, at the very least. Letter grade, Fox.
B+.
Whoa! Oh, my God. Just too talky?
Yeah.
Convenience store stuff?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh my God. For the second time ever, a B plus. Oh my God. Can 24 season 2 get back in to the A range next week? We will find out.
As 24
season 2 episode 18 coming next on Worst Day Ever. Bye.
Bye.